when we just kind of walk through life. And but did you know that the moment that you got saved, you became a child of God? You'll catch it in just a minute. I'm no longer the same as that I was, right? And we've been talking for the last couple of weeks about, you know, last week it was kind of like, and it came to me during the sermon, it was like, you know, come on, if you're not following, you've fallen. And if you've fallen, you're not following. Isn't that heavy? I mean, that's just really, really deep. It's theological terms. But the reality is, come on, dude, yes. So watch this. But that's not just a negative thing, right? We talked about a little bit of the negative. It's like, first of all, to not follow is stupid. Again, another theological, politically correct, you know, because if you're not following, then you're into sin, and sin has rewards, and the rewards aren't good, right? I mean, you know, you think like you're getting away with lying, but pretty soon it comes back and, you know, bites you where you don't want it to bite you, and it's like, no, Lord, you've given us the pattern of your word. How do we develop in it? How do we stand in it? Glory to God. How many want to be run over? I mean, that's the way, you know, life, that's just the way life is. I'm just going to be run over. As, you know, that's the way my dad was always run over. My mom was always run over. Nothing good ever happens to me. How many aspire to that? That's who I want to be. That's me. How many have ever felt like that? The rest of you are lying, but that's okay, right? But here's the point, is that if you're going to be different, you have to do different.
Amen. That's true.
If you're going to be different, you have to see different. And if you're going to see different, you got to say different. But it's not just seeing with our eyes. It's seeing through God's eyes. Who has God made you to be? Well, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm nothing. In one realm, for myself, my pride is like, I'm low. I mean, God, without you, I'm nothing. But the reality is that I'm not without you. If I'm dead to myself, then I can be fully alive unto you. And you working in me should be different than the way it's always been. I don't care if you've been saved for 100 years. Amen. When you come to realization who God is, and nobody raise your hand, but if you come to that realization that God is in me and that God has a purpose for me and that God is going to use me, then you should be seeing yourself different now than you were. Amen. It's so powerful, and yet we walk around with, and I just believe this, I don't think that there's been a Christian alive that's reached their full potential. Right? There's not, I mean, Paul said, man, forgetting the things that are behind, I'm pressing toward the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, I haven't arrived, man. That was Paul, right? I've done some things. I've been some places, you know. I've seen God do some things. Man, a viper that's supposed to be, you know, like a two-step viper. What does that mean? It bites you two steps, you're dead. I just shook it off into the fire and nothing happened. I've seen some things, but I haven't got there yet. Glory to God. But I want to talk to you just a little bit this morning about what do you see in what's in your mouth. Because what's coming out of your mouth is what you see. Tacos. He's hearing tacos. Come on, get in the spirit just for a minute, David. Just for a minute. Look at this. I want to see what God sees. I want to hear what God says. I want to do what God wants me to do. But I can't do that looking by my own limitations. I have to take the limits off. But I'm telling you, we put a governor on ourselves by allowing our mouths to get in agreement with what the enemy has said, or what the past has said, or what others have said. And we need to get alone with God and see what He says, and then swim upstream by putting His word above our thoughts. I mean, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. But yet we'll say that on one hand, and then we'll go describe our circumstances, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what has going to happen. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too this. I'm too that. And God says, stop it. Because you're pulling out the seed that I planted in your heart, and you're not watering it, and you're not giving it life. But God is saying, man, I want different for you. Now I know God is merciful, and I know heaven is going to be wonderful, right? But watch this. I want to be at a place where I'm going, God, when I get to heaven, I don't want to be up there looking at my life. Look at this, because I kind of feel this sometimes. I look at my life and God says, well, there was an opportunity you missed, and there was an opportunity you missed. I wanted to use you to change that person's life, but you were too busy. And I wanted to do that, but you couldn't see yourself as having the potential to be able to do that. And I'm going, oh. Right? And I know there's no regrets in heaven, but at the same time, it's like, God. Is there more? Is there more? Now, I believe this, and turn to Exodus. Let's go to Exodus 24. Exodus 24. Now I believe this, but others have said it for a long time. Do you know that Christians for 2,000 years have been saying Jesus is coming soon? But it's sooner than it was yesterday. No, I believe He's coming soon. I believe He's, we're in a generation, watch this, where we've seen fulfillment of prophecy like no other generation. And we can look to the biggest sign, and that is Israel coming back into the land. I mean, that's just such a pivotal thing, and it sets up, these are really the last of the last days, right? But it said in the last days that He was going to pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. His sons and His daughter would prophesy. How much prophesying you been doing? If you haven't, then you're not seeing yourself as a last day child of God. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. Mm-mm-mm. I want to talk to you just a little bit of the difference of some things. Look at Joshua chapter, Exodus 24, and look at 13. Just verse 13. And Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and went up to the mountain of God. See, Joshua was a world changer. Joshua was a giant defeater. He was a Jericho taker. He was a land grabber. He was a promise seer. He didn't just see the promises, he saw the promises fulfilled. But the first thing that he did is he said, in order for me to see the promise, I've got to get with the one who makes the promise. So God has really been speaking with this Moses guy. And God sent Moses to lead. So I'm going to go wherever Moses goes. And it's told that Moses went up to, and he told the people, I want you all to come up to the mountain, and I want you to all come so that you can be right. And they said, No. We don't want to touch that. But you know where Joshua was? He stayed at the mountain. See, you're not going to be the man or woman that God wants to use unless you go up to the mountain and say, God, I am here in your presence when everybody else is doing their thing. It's so good. There's so much here. But go back to 17, Exodus 17. Hallelujah. I want to be a Joshua. And we're going to see this really clear, but in Joshua 17, in verse 9, it says, And Moses said to Joshua, Choose some men and go out to fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with the Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Now, first of all, I don't know about you, but you look at this and you go, just a minute. We got this big enemy that we're facing. And you want me to go down there, and you're going to stand up here. So if I get this right, you're not going to be in the battle, but you're sending me to the battle. And Joshua said, man, I'm gone. Why? Because I've spent time with God, but I know that God is with you. And if God is with you and God has spoken through you and he's told me to do something, I'm your man. You see, you're not going to be a promise getter until you're an obedient follower. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you all the time. If you're born again, if the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, he's speaking all the time. But you're waiting for the thunder when it's the still small voice. Right? It's the still small voice saying, Sometimes it's not even a voice. Amen. It's just that doesn't feel right. Right? But we've got to learn to be obedient to that voice if we want to have the results of Joshua. Right? Come on. And it goes on. This is so good. I want what he's got. I want what he has. Right? So it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, but when he let it back down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him and set it on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on each side of the other. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Look, you're never going to get victory until you've become a son of obedience. For sake of time, go to Numbers 13. And I'm not going to go through the whole story, but you all know it. You know the story how God called one from each tribe to go spy out the land. Now watch this. There were 12 spies that went into the land. And 10 out of the 12 came back with what God called an evil report. And they said, we're not able to do this. No. Yeah, everything is just as God promised. It's just like God said. It's just like Moses described to us. But there are giants in the land. There's people that are going to oppress us. They're going to squish us like bugs. Let's stay here in the desert. It's safer over here. And again, I was going to read it, but Joshua and Caleb, when they heard their report, it said that they rent their clothes. They were so grieved in their spirit because they saw the giants through God. They didn't see God through the giants. They began to see the giants through God's eyes. And Caleb said, man, listen, we're well able. Come on, let's go right now. Let's go right now. We're well able to take the land. You see, watch, their voice came from a heart that was tenderized by the Spirit of God, by the promise of God, and they began to speak about their lives through what God had said rather than what they'd experienced. But it's almost the same today, is that, and I looked it up, 17% of the spies had a good report. 17%. It's actually a little less than that. 17%. What does that mean? That means that the majority is never right. So come on. So what I'm saying is this: if you're going to be a Joshua instead of the others who had the bad report, you're going to have to do some things that others won't do. And the first thing that you're going to have to do is to spend time with God and find out what God has said, and then begin to see your circumstances through the promises of God, and then stand up and say so in the midst of others saying no. Let me say that again. You're going to have, if you're going to be one, come on. They talk about the one percenters. I'm talking about the 17 percenters. I want to be part of the 17 percenters. But if I'm going to be, I've got to begin to say some things that all the rest aren't saying. You're going to look like you're going against the grain. You're going to look like other people are going to call you crazy. All the people, don't you know that there's giants in your land? Don't you know you don't have enough money? Don't you know you're too young? Don't you know you're not the right, you know, color? You're not the right this, you're not the right that. You got to be one of the 17% instead of the rest. And you've got to begin to declare. In fact, when somebody says you can't, you should have the attitude of renting your clothes, saying, I'm not listening to you. We're well able. Come on, we're well able. We're well able. Now watch. Watch this. But because they were trying to pull all of the others, it took 40 years for them to see. But all the 40 years they were saying, but we're going to take the land. I saw it. It's mine. I've got it because God said I could have it. He said I could do it. He said it's mine. And they never stopped seeing the vision of what God promised through what He said. All the other people were going, man, I don't know why we're out here. We should have stayed in Egypt. Oh, bless God. They all died not receiving the promise. how many of us have left promises on the table because we're listening to the voices of the majority rather than getting alone with God and letting Him be the sole voice that we listen to? Shoot, come on. Come on. Well, you can't do that. Come on, yeah, look, you can't do that. Well, who said I can't do that? See, the first criteria is that you got to get along with God and in His presence let Him speak to you. Right, some of us have said, well, I'm going to try this, bless God. I've got my promise cards from the Lord. And I'm just going to say this one on Monday and this one on Tuesday and this one on Wednesday and this one. And then I'm going to go to work. I'm going to do everything. And then I'm going to come back maybe tomorrow and do this again. But look at me. Listen to me. You can't just say the promise. You've got to get alone with the promise giver until the promise becomes a reality in your heart. And then you begin to say some things and you stand on the authority and you don't let anybody else talk you out of what God has put in your heart. But until you get to the place where you've communed with the Spirit of God to reveal the Word of God to you, you're not ready to be a 17%er. Oh, glory to God. But I'm telling you this morning, I'm telling you that God's got some things coming up. And He's got some miracles that are got your name on them. Right? He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. He's got a destiny for you. But what are you saying? What's that? Absolutely. I am going to fulfill my heart with what God has said, and I'm never going to let it slip because I'm going to fulfill what God has promised for me to fulfill. Shh. Come on. Come on. Paul said this way, man, I've been knocked down, but I'm not out. And this is Bruce's paraphrase. They've whooped me good, but I got back up. Amen. Right? They said I couldn't, but I said I can. Right? They said you don't have enough, but I said I have enough. Right? They said, listen, you won't make it. I said, I've already made it. Right? Because watch this. Joshua and Caleb, it was so cool. I just love this point. Joshua and Caleb, by the time they got there, they were like 80 years old. 80 years old. 80 years old. And Joshua says, you know, Caleb had been helping him get other lands and everything. Finally, it was Caleb's land, time to go get his. And the deal was, your family helps my family. We go get the land, and then we go back to our place. So Joshua goes, Caleb, man, you ready to go get your place? Goes, yeah, man, are you kidding me? And he says, you need some help? He said, no, I don't need any help. I don't need a bit of help. You don't even need to come. Right? Because God spoke to me 40 years ago, and I was well able to then, and I'm well able to now. Just try and stop me, Jack. I'm going to go take my land. So what has God said to you? What has God said to you? Has He promised you peace, but yet there's turmoil? What's in your mouth? Has He promised you healing, and yet you're hurting in your body? What's in your mouth? What's in your mouth is what's residing in your heart. If you want to change what's coming out of your mouth, you got to spend time in the Word of God and let God put something different in your heart so that your mouth will say something different. You know, you really, in this day and age, you don't have to figure out or try to discern where people's hearts are. Why? Because you just look at Facebook. Right, and Christians are really good at this. Their posts will be such that it's kind of like passive aggressive. What do I mean by that? They're going to post something about something that somebody's doing, but in a passive-aggressive way. And what they're saying is, I've been victimized by what somebody else did. Is that how you see yourself? Then that's what you're going to get. Come on. If you're a victim, you're going to get victimized. Now, I can't prove this by the word, but my experience tells me that there are spirits out there that are looking for victims. And do you remember, some of you remember, some of you are way too young, but Kmart used to have the blue light special. All right? You look over there, and you go, I wonder what's on sale over there. I'm going to go over there and look at what the blue light special is. If you have a victim's mentality, there's a blue light just going over your head, and there's spirits who want to cause others to abuse you, and they're going to come and say, looky here, look at what we've got a victim right here. We got a victim. Come on, come on, George, come on with me. Listen, I've got somebody else to come with me. Debt, you come with me. Come on, come on. Demonic oppression, you come with me. Depression, you come with me. Thoughts of suicide, why don't you come? Do because there is a blue light special, because you don't see yourself the way God sees you. You don't know of whom you belong and who is with you and who is in you, because my Bible says that He's made you. You more than a conqueror through Christ who is in you, who strengthens you, who's with you. Come on. Come on, come on. But you got to stay and you got to meditate on that. When the thoughts are coming against you and the devil's screaming at you, what are you going to do? You're going under. You'll never make it. You'll never attain anything. Who do you think you are? Come on. God might have promised that to you years ago, but you must have blown it so bad that God can't get it through. It's too late. You're out of time. Come on. But that's not what my Bible says. My Bible says that if I've blown it and I ask for forgiveness, He's faithful and just to forgive me of all of my sin. But He doesn't stop there. He says He's going to cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. Therefore, there is no taint on me. There's no smell on me of my past, because He has wiped it away. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. So my promise is not in my past.
That's right.
My promise is in what He did.
That's right.
Woo! Glory to God. I need to begin to see myself in Him. I need to begin to view myself in Him. I need to ask Him what it is He wants me to do. And when He says it, then I've made my mind up. I'm going to do what He said. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. I'm no longer a victim. I refuse to be defeated. I refuse to be defeated. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. But your mouth is identifying who you are. Come on. Even in our society, we have a whole group of people that says, well, you're disabled, and so therefore you're limited in how much you can have. Now, listen, I know that there's people with situations and there's financial restraints, but you got to get yourself out of that viewpoint and say, look, that's where I am right now. But my God said He would supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. And He said He gives seed to the sower. And that if I begin to sow as He tells me to sow, then He's going to bring back to me on every wave the needs that I... Come on, because I need to do something for God, and I got to have some resources and to be able to do it. And my resources won't get it done, but His resources are limitless. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So if you're facing something that seems impossible, God's going to say the same thing to you that he said to Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter 1, and we'll close. Y'all get something today? Well, what are you going to do about it? Come on. Come on. Aren't you tired of just coming to church every week and your life being the same? Right? God is too. I said, God is too. He paid too big of a price for us to remain the same. He paid too big of a price for us to just go along, same old, and then I'm going to die. Let our worship be turned into revival. What does that mean? That means, God, use me to touch my world. Oh, glory to God. Verse 1. All right, you know the story. Moses died. Joshua, it's all you now. And Joshua, really, it's one of the... Jesus and Joshua are the same name, but it means salvation. But it means God, Jehovah, saves. So even Joshua's name is that God uses Josh to save. Woo, glory to God. God uses Bruce to save. Come on. God uses Marty to save. All right, I got to quit. After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. So don't build a shrine to him. You don't stop there for another 40 years and just say, oh, how good it was when Moses was here. Well, you know, back in the Azusa Street Revival, boy, they really had something. Or in the 70s or the healing revivals, man, wasn't that good? No, it's dead. It's dead. Don't try to revive something that's dead. Find out what God says and go do it. That's for free. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. For 40 years, Joshua said, we can't do it, we can't do it, we can't do it, we can't do it. And God said, you won't do it. Not until all of you are dead. All of you are out of the way. But I've got 17% that are going to go through. It's the time for the 17% to rise up. Amen. Now watch this. Watch. Woo, glory to God. Verse 3, every place the sole of your foot will tread, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. Where are you walking? Come on, I got to ask you, where are you walking? Are you taking it? Are you being taken in? Ooh, glory to God. Watch now, watch. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates and all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I've got to tell you today that they had a covenant that was not as good as the one that you and I stand on. So if he was with them, he's with us. Is God with you today? Come on, is God for you today? Come on, you might not be able to answer that, but if you can, I can tell you He is, He wants to be, but you've got to get alone with Him in His Word and find out for yourself and camp there, set up a tent there, set up a place where you're going, God, I'm not leaving here until I get a revelation of this, because I've got to go someplace, and God, I can't get there looking the way I look, thinking the way I think, and acting the way I act. I've got a tabernacle with You until I get a revelation of where I'm going, so then I can begin to declare that in Jesus' name. Woo! And when God speaks to you, no man, no devil will be able to keep you from what God has promised you. But look at, it's not meaning that you're not going to have resistance. Because verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance of land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong. Be strong, I promised, but be strong. Why? Because there's going to be a lot of those who will not listen, who will try to talk you out of what I've said. Come on, you've got to go, no, bless God, I heard. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. If God told me to do it, it's going to be done. In Jesus' name, I'm walking and I'm going to talk. Listen, I'm not giving up. I refuse to give up. Only be strong, verse 7, and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to it from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. We want to prosper without looking at the law of liberty and walking in its statutes. God is a merciful God. God cuts us a lot of slack. But He's not a God that says, listen, you can just do it any way you want and expect to get the right results. If you're not a seed sower, you're not going to be a harvester. Oh, but bless God, He'll supply all my needs. No, He won't. I said, no, He won't. Not until you get into the Word and read the rest of the story around that. He was talking to a church that gave out of their need. They didn't have the ability to put in the offering what was needed for the help at Jerusalem, but they gave it anyway. They believed God. They were able to give more than enough. And He said to that group, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. What am I saying? We've got to get back in the book and say, now how does this work? And God, if it doesn't make sense to me, I'm going to go by the handbook. If forgive, that doesn't make sense, but I'm going to do it. Bless, God, I don't want to bless them. I want to punch them. But I'm going to do it anyway. Right? Jesus, is that what you said? That's what I'm going to do, the best of my ability. Why? Because you're going to have to be strong to do that. You're going to have to show courage. You know what courage is? Courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is acting in spite of fear. Right? Come on. That scares me. Whew. Good. Do it anyway. If God's told you, do it anyway. All right, I gotta quit. Verse 8. Listen to this. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. I read this so many different ways. But listen, if I do that, God will make my ways prosperous. That's not what He said. That's not what He said. He'll help you, but your faith in doing what God has told you to do and living your life out of that, you'll go conquer. God's not going to conquer for you until you get into a place where you're cooperating with Him and you're trusting that He said to go, so I'm going to go. And when I go, everything that I'll need will be along the way. Let me read that again. This book of the law, and they just had the first five books of the Bible at that time. They didn't have everything else. They had that, but we have the whole thing now. Now it says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. I thought, that's interesting. But this says it'll always be on your lips. The word will always be on your lips. So when somebody asks you a question, your first response or your first thought should, well, what does the word say? Mm-hmm. 17%er. What does the word say? I don't know. Well, I'm going to get alone with God and find out what it says so that I can have that constantly mumbling. And meditate means to mumble. Did you know that? What does that mean? That means talk to yourself. You all talk to yourself. Everybody does. It may not be out loud, but it's inside. But what are you saying? Are you saying what he said? Or what they said? Or what, you know, what that teacher said to you when you were five? Or what that person that abused you said to you? Who are you listening to? Right? Get that out by putting this in. And meditate on it. Speak it all over and over and over again. Talk to yourself about it. Tell yourself today that this is true. Tell yourself tomorrow that this is true. Tell yourself in the morning and the evening. Come on. It's like, why do we do something like this? Why do we do this? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Right? Man, I got to do that constantly. And when a thought comes contrary, I've got to think it, but then I've got to say it out loud. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and you believe your voice over anybody else's. So get your voice in line with this. And by doing so, God will be with you and you'll make your way prosperous. Amen? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Glory to God! So just ask yourself, what have I been saying? What have I been saying? What have I been telling myself? What I've been saying about my situation, is it lining up with God's word or is it not? And if it's not, I'm going to get out of, come on, the 73%ers. Come on. Excuse me, the 83%ers. I got to do my math over. And I'm going to get into the 17%ers. I might look strange to you. It might sound strange to you. It's like, man, that man can't be that blessed, can't be that happy, can't be that delusional. Well, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Because I'm going to say I'm blessed. I'm going to say I'm going to praise him in the midst of everything. I'm going to say the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm going to say that when I'm weak, he's strong. I'm going to say that his grace is sufficient for me. I may be knocked down, but I'm not quitting. Come on. If God be for me, who can be against me? Nobody can separate me from the love of God. God, you're with me. You're with me. Condemnation, you have no place in me because I've asked for forgiveness. And God sent Jesus to take the condemnation so that I don't have to walk in it. And right now, I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He'll meet all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I walk in peace. I walk in love. I walk in joy. There is no stronghold that the enemy has brought up to me that the blood of Jesus hasn't already paid the price that I could be free from it. I am free in Jesus' name. I'm free in Jesus' name. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if I'm in prison. I don't care if I'm in debt. I don't care if I'm in a sick bed. I am declaring with my mouth what God has said, and I'm working on my heart. And boy, when a day comes where my heart, my mouth line up, God will come through, and I will walk in prosperity of the soul, the spirit, and I'll be able to give to every good work. God, I thank you that I am not lacking when I have you, because in you is everything that I need. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So everybody, just bow your head for just a minute. Come on, if the devil's been whacking you upside the head and you've been taking it, isn't it time to change it?
Yep.
Right? And you know, I can pray for you, but I'm not going home with you. So you got to take the word home with you. You got to take the message home with you. You got to live with the message and then stand on the message. So right now, man, you just say, listen, I'm done with that. I'm done with saying that I can't do what God's told me to do. That I'm too young, I'm too this, I don't run with the right crowd, I'm less than. We're going to flush all of that and say, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do. Whatever you put on my heart, I will do. And God, I refuse to back down, back up, but I'm only going to look forward to what you have for me. If you're here and God's speaking to you this morning, you say, man, this is a changing day for me. I'm going to be different leaving here in Jesus' name. If that's you, just raise your hand right now. Come on. So we got one person that heard the message. Come on, come on, come on. That should be all of us, right? Come on, come on, that should be all of us. We've got so religious, I'm too holy to raise my hand. No, man, I'm too needy not to. I need this. I need him. Right? If you're here today and you haven't never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you're still living for yourself and just thinking that enough is enough and a little bit of Jesus is okay, flush that. Say, today, God, I'm all in. If it costs me my friends, I'm going to be a 17%er. If it costs me my job, I'm going to be a 17%er. If it costs me everything, God, I'll do it. If it costs me my life, I don't care. Because, God, I'm all in today. I'm all in today. Come on, this is serious. This is serious. So am I speaking to any 17%ers in here? If I am, flush out your own thinking and get back to where God spoke to you and begin to walk in the light of his word rather than the fear of your circumstances. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, we're going to pray a prayer, and all you have to do is mean it in your heart and you will be changed. Your eternity will be changed. But maybe you've said the prayer before, but you go, whatever. It's time to get really serious with God and go talk to him. Show up at his house tomorrow morning before you leave your house. Just repeat this after me. Father God, in Jesus' name, life gets so crazy. And sometimes I can't even realize how I get where I get. But you've spoken to my heart this morning. And I declare with my mouth, I believe it in my heart, that Jesus is my Lord. God, you raised him from the dead. And just as he was raised from the dead, so am I. I have your life in me. God, I thank you that I hear your voice. Lord, I thank you that all I need, you've already provided. So I say, yes, Lord. Yes to you. Yes to your ways. Yes to the job you've asked me to do. Thank you, God, for a new beginning. Thank you, Lord, for a fresh start. Thank you, God. I can do anything you've asked me to do, because it's through your strength. It's through your wisdom. It's through your power that I'm going to get it done. I declare I'm not leaving earth without working for you. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Amen.